Yeah. Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward. As always, ride with me is my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Hey, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's P-A-P-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And once again, visit the website www.pactsinc.org, where you can go to the Learning Center. You can become a member. You can donate. You can also go through the codes of conduct to really understand how PAX Inc. is doing their best to contribute to the upliftment and the elevation and the empowerment of the black community. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you can learn more about myself, Patrick, all of the other hosts that we have, and all of the podcasts that we have Monday through Friday, where we're giving you our podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network. And if you want to support us, remember, Lessons from the Screen and The Fix are both on Patreon. So go to patreon.com, LFTS, Lessons from the Screen, patreon.com/LFTS, and that way you can support Patrick's show, Lessons from the Screen, or you can do, patreon.com/The Fix, and that way you can support The Fix Sports Podcast. And we need you all support to help grow our shows and continue our shows and improve our shows. So we have those platforms set up there for you all to support us. And we just do what we do because we are continuing to bring you all this heat and this funk. And we're getting ready to roll into 2019. What it do, Pat?
What it do, my natural, what it is.
What it look like. This is our Kwanzaa edition. We ain't doing Christmas. We're doing Kwanzaa. This is our Kwanzaa edition show. So, Kuji Chakalia to everybody out there.
Oh.
I just picked one.
Gotcha.
I just picked one. You go ahead. You can pick one. You do Nia.
I don't celebrate the holidays. None of them.
Oh, you one of them brothers. Okay.
Yeah. No Christmas, no Kwanzaa, no Hanukkah, no Zaka, no Zubu. None of it.
Not even the World Cup?
Nope.
Yeah, Pat.
Nope. If you're going to be real about it, you got to be all the way real. You can't be some of the time real. All holidays are man-made.
So you're Jehovah's Witness?
Mm-mm, because they celebrate certain stuff, too.
Oh, they ain't true enough.
Mm-hmm. All holidays are man-made. All special occasions are man-made. What's so special about any occasion? You know what I'm saying? Think about it.
Yeah.
Sweet high moment.
There you go. How about Cardi B just turned down the Super Bowl?
I don't care.
They asked Cardi to perform. She said no. That boy Travis Scott said, yeah. He a sellout.
I don't care. If we being honest, you can't call that man. You can't, like, at this point, black folk, because y'all ain't never really stopped watching football.
Right.
You can't call nobody a sellout for choosing to get their money. You can't, like, and then even to that, who's to say that they aren't going to take that money and do something positive with it? Who's to say that they aren't going to deliver a performance that's inspirational, that's positive? You know, like
I get you. It's really not that serious. But the way the media backlash that he is getting, he will continue to get. We will see if it affects his career the same way it affects Chrisette Michelle's when she decides to perform at the inauguration. So.
Cause they got down, they ended her career.
But see, somebody asked a good question. How come Christina got drugged through the mud? I mean, Chrisette, how come she got drugged through the mud, but Kanye didn't?
No, that wasn't somebody. That was one of the people we had on our 4 for 15 show.
They asked that then.
KG or Dominique? Dom,
Erica, as you said it.
Maybe it was Erica.
Yeah, Erica Dom. Okay, well, I thought that was in the group chat that somebody asked that question.
It was in the group chat, but it was in the group chat with us in it.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, but that is a good question, though. It's like, Chrisette Michelle performed at the, and she just performed at the inauguration.
Right.
Like, Kanye basically said Trump was the man he wanted to be. That's his new daddy.
Kanye gave Trump a blowjob on national TV.
He did. I was about to say that, but yeah, he did. He sucked him up.
Mm-hmm. He sure everything got some of the white stuff in his hair. That's why his hair blonde.
Hey, man. Yeah, that's wild, man.
So, but
I don't know, man.
That is a good question, though.
Because, if y'all going to drag up to the money, y'all got to do the same thing to Kanye. If y'all going to hurt her career, you got to hurt Kanye's career, too, now.
Yo, like, they literally destroy her. Like, for the last 2 years, I've been like, yo, what happened to Chrisette Michelle? Yeah. Oh, the inauguration. I didn't realize Black Backlash was real like that.
I forgot about it. But it really ain't that damn serious, though. I mean, of course, nobody want her to do it, but it ain't that damn serious for them to be like, oh, we're going to ruin your career. But then when Kanye do it, they find all type of excuses. Well, and not Kanye had to perform at the inauguration, but Kanye performed coonery in front of Trump, in front of the nation.
Kanye's
so,
been performing since Kanye, since what's his name, Trump got elected. So
Right. But it just...
Even to that, though, right? Has Kanye really faced any major backlash?
Not really. Not to the extent that Chrisette has. He has faced backlash, but not any major backlash that could be considered something that would hurt his brand or hurt his career.
Because even Steve Harvey caught some backlash.
Well, but once again, nobody since the inauguration has caught backlash to the level of Chrisette.
That's true.
And the question is, well, why? Well, what was so much more egregious about what she did than anybody else did?
It was fresh.
But
the
hatred of
Trump was still fresh. He had literally just got elected.
I mean, so it's like, all right, so now you're 2 years into the hatred and you're used to it now. So when somebody like Kanye do something like that, it's cool.
Probably. That sounds about right, actually.
The Black community need to stop with the backlash thing. Seems to me like we're full of shit. Well, I ain't going to say we. Seem like those who do the backlash are full of shit.
I mean, you backlash about the wrong shit anyways. You backlash about a motherfucker getting paid to perform at an event. But then you want to support a R. Kelly song where he admit to being a predator.
Well, once again, though, people pick and choose what they want to have backlash about, what they want to be mad about. If they like what you do. But because if you're going to have backlash equally across the board. Because right. I was going to say, it might get to what we were talking about the other day about people separating the person from the art. But still, in these cases, it's not rational things that's happening. So be irrational across the board to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. Like, if you're going to, even if you want to say, well, R. Kelly is different from Trump, all right, whatever, but.
But not really.
I don't think so either. But if that's what you want to say, okay, whatever. But you still got Kanye West, who people still running around trying to say he a genius. You know, I guess he's the same kind of stable genius that Donald Trump is. But you got the Steve Harvey situation. Like you said, nobody has really suffered career-ending backlash like like her career literally ended. She got dropped from a label.
Right.
You know, records flopped. She stopped getting booked for shows. Artists stopped wanting to do collaborative projects with her. Like, her career ended.
Kanye did some bullshit and ended up being a part of 7 albums, seemed like they come out. Everybody lined up to work. Man, was like, what the fuck? So have y'all forgotten that y'all was mad at people that worked with Trump? Oh, but you remember it when they come around for the Super Bowl, though. Okay.
Well, you know, they really going to be loving Kanye now that, you know, prison reform.
Man, I don't, I don't, I just cut my cable, so I don't know. That's where I'm at with. I don't even know. But
so what we got? That was a long ass tangent.
I mean, you know, we do what we do, man. They like it. Y'all like it, don't you? See, they like it. But three topics. Maria Butina, how you say it? Butina she pleads guilty to conspiracy. So the Russian spy who's working with the Republicans and the NRAs, ex Baylor Frat president, a white boy, raped this girl, and he's only getting probation. And I tell you why, it's some fucked up shit to judge on. And then the last thing is the Senate passes the criminal justice reform bill, so it'll kind of break that down.
It's signed in the law, so it's
huh?
It's been signed in the law.
What the oh yeah the bill yeah. Well, the Senate and the House, so it's law now. So
yeah, Donald Trump signed it Friday.
Right. So the House, the Senate, and Trump did their part. So the criminal justice reform is law now. So we're gonna get into that, break that down. But I'm gonna start with this Maria Butina thing, because I just thought it was kind of interesting. Probably because I just watched the movie Salt not too long ago.
Movie what?
And you ever saw the movie Salt?
No.
All right, so basically the movie Salt was about Angelina Jolie being a Russian spy who was supposedly helping the Russian government overthrow the Russian government and the U.S. government. And it's just a lot of correlations and similarities between what happened in the movie Salt and what's happening right now between the Republican Party and the Russians. So it's just a conspiracy theorist in me. But you got to see the movie to really, really get to where I'm at and see why I got the smile on my face. Because right now you like, I don't get this shit.
It sounds like a decent movie. I'll be looking for movies to watch while I walk around the house. You know, tell I'm home alone for the holidays. Well, not really, but I am. So, anyways, I just be walking.
Tell them your address so they can run up on you.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Basically, Maria Butina, she pleaded guilty in federal court for attempting to infiltrate Republican political circles and influence U.S. relations with Russia before and after the 2016 presidential election. So she's a 30-year-old who attended conferences of groups such as the National Rifle Association, the National Prayer Breakfast, and orchestrated gatherings where influential Americans could meet with Russians. Butina sought to establish unofficial lines of communication with Americans having power and influence over U.S. politics, prosecutors said. Butina admitted to acting under direction of a Russian official whom CNN identified as Alexander Torshin, the recently retired deputy governor of the Central Bank of Russia. While she was in the U.S., she pursued graduate studies at the University of Washington. She had a boyfriend. I come upon his name in a minute, but she had the boyfriend who they're questioning him because they're thinking he helped. But the National Prayer Breakfast and the NRA, the two of the main groups that Butina was having communications with, she's even part of setting up meetings between Donald Trump Jr. and other members of the Russian delegations and all those things. She agreed to turn over any evidence of crimes she is aware of, submit a full accounting of her financial assets, sit for interviews and law enforcement and all those things there. So basically, in a nutshell, she said, yeah, I'm down with Russia and I'm a spy and I'm doing all these things to help Russia be able to influence the 2016 election and the Republicans who are voted in after that, i.e. Donald Trump and all that. But the crazy thing about all this is she gets a plea and could only end up spending about 6 months in prison.
She gonna get deported when she get out, but yeah.
Right, but I mean, hell, if just deport her. If you're gonna do all this, just deport her. What's the point?
You gotta get the information from her.
Well, I guess they gone 6 months worth of whatever to get the information. So. But Basically, they're saying she played a part in helping orchestrate different things to get Donald Trump elected. So, but of course, you know, Trump done like, we ain't had nothing to do with it. But they like, yeah. So.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
I remember covering this in one of my Trending Tuesdays from Lessons from the Screen. This was obviously before she got before she got found out, or before she had pled guilty, shall I say. So, you know, I think that she pled guilty and she is a spy. And she seemingly was very successful at being a spy. She created ties with high-ranking officials in the NRA, the National Rifle Association. She created ties with several prominent Republican politicians and two presidential campaigns, Donald Trump's campaign and Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin's presidential campaign. So, and even to that, she did not even hide the fact that she was a spy.
Yeah, but she was bold about it.
Yeah, like she, even in terms of how she represented herself as a Russia, like as a Russian government official.
Yeah, with that thick ass, they say she got a thick ass Russian accent.
Oh, she does. I've seen videos of her asking questions to Donald Trump. One of the questions she asked was, how would you repair the relationship between America and Russia? And her accent is definitely, like, she really had no choice but to admit that she was a Russian official, because that accent, you don't just pick that up walking down the streets of New York. So, you know, I think that's what it is.
And to add to that point, let me read this real quick. And it was saying, in court Thursday before the judge accepted her plea, Butina said her mind was absolutely clear. This comes in contrast to her lawyer's previous notice to the court that as of late November, she was in solitary confinement in jail, and the conditions were starting to have a profound psychological impact on her. Since late November, Butina has been allowed time out of the cell at night and for other activities, including for church and the visit with Russian Orthodox minister, which helped him in the state, attorney Driscoll said. So, like, even to that, they're trying to give her out to say, oh, well, the conditions that she's in, because they're saying she spent a lot of time in solitary confinement. They're trying to say and help her out as far as saying that, hey man, you know, you ain't got to be so bold. She's like, nah, fuck that, I'm straight. So like you're saying, she's not even trying to hide nothing about that.
Yeah, like I don't know what kind of new age spy this is, maybe even the spies in this generation of soul, but you know it, but this whole thing, like, this is a game that all of the powers and would-be super, because there's really only one superpower in the world right now, and that's the United States. And there are other superpowers that, there are other people that are ascending to that status, namely China. While the United States is also on its way down. But this is a game that everybody plays. The United States is mad because we've been caught up on the losing end of it.
Right.
But governments play this game of influencing the internal workings of other
countries. The CIA been doing it forever.
Yeah, you look at what's happening right now at the southern border. A lot of that stuff is caused by the things that America has done in Central and South America to destabilize the region, interrupting with their internal government structures. So, you know, you can't play this game for such a long time and not expect to ever be on the bad end of it. Russia outgamed the United States government.
That's the thing that really amuses me about all of this. It's all organized crime that's happened. And the U.S. is doing a great job of covering up their organized crime within the country. Because, you know, you got a lot of people fooled, and a lot of people really believe that like sit like this is supposed to be happening. But, you know, getting people's mindset and thinking like, you know, overall, you know, why we do this show, why we have this platform, why we give this information is think about what we're saying. These are elements of the system of white supremacy, man. If you break down the system of white supremacy, you eliminate a lot of, you eliminate these things right here. But this is this criminal activity, all these things just come from people who want to dominate and rule. And it's like, we mad that you got a, you got one up on us because we trying to dominate and rule and you stopping us from dominating and rule at the end of the day.
I just think it's interesting that people don't consider the fact that other people are playing the same games with us that we play with them.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so critical and cynical of a lot of information. Until I can read it and verify it and research it for myself. Because I understand that, I mean, even when you go to this Russian thing, a lot of those Russian social media campaigns were designed to discourage black people from participating politically.
Yeah, I heard about that a lot of, because I saw the thing that you posted about Trump and Noah, and you had the black chick making jokes about it and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the most convenient way to spread it, is Trevor Noah and his jokes. But,
right.
You know, I've been reading reports and articles and stuff about that for a while.
Right. And so, but that's interesting as well as, you know, these Russian sites. So, hold on. So kind of break that down. Give a little more detail on some of the tactics that they use. Like, did they, because I didn't get full information. I kind of forgot to look that up, but. Were they using, like, black people, or how were they doing that?
They were organizing these groups that would create social media web pages that would basically produce content geared to trigger a certain type of audience. So
right.
They would create content that was geared to trigger a state of apathy or a state of disillusionment by making a post that would say from a dummy account that could be in some of these pro-black groups. I have no doubts in my mind that some of those people in those groups are Russian spies just from the way they act. Even if they're not Russian spies, they're not in there because they honestly believe in the purpose and the mission of the group. So, but one of these people could be in this group and create a post that falsely compares Democrats to Republicans. And I'm not saying that Democrats don't have their issues, and I'm not saying Republicans don't have their advantages. But what I'm saying is they are two distinct parties with two different purposes. So you would have these two group, these posts that would say, well, the Democrats did this. And isn't that the same thing as the Republicans when they did this? This is why you shouldn't vote and you should just not participate. And posts like that are kind of, even if they are on the surface factually true, contextually, they're oftentimes false. And so they play this game where they muddy the waters. And if you're not researched into what's going on, you can get caught up in that trap and get disillusioned. You know, you also had a Russian group. I forget the name of the group, but this came out sometime last year, where a Russian group had registered itself on Facebook as a pro-black coalition and had actually garnered 300 or 400 supporters, and they had actually scheduled a rally where people were going to come out. And this was a Russian spy organization that had set this whole thing up, and they've done the same thing to the alt-right. They've done the same thing to the white supremacists. So they just found ways to get into the American culture, the American psyche, through social media, and ways to utilize... Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead. Finish your sentence.
I was just going to say, and they found ways to capitalize on our gullibility, our gullibleness, and our predictability, and to influence us into either not participating or, you know, in some cases, I've read one article, and the Trevor Noah said it, so I don't know if it's true. I've read one article. But in some cases, also, to vote for Jill Stein instead of voting for any other candidate.
And see, that's why it comes down, like, we preach people doing your own damn research for yourself. What are your interests? What are your interests? What are your community's interests? And focus on that, on that level, like that. Like, if you, like, stop letting other people, like, influence you. If you want to vote for somebody, vote for that person, but know why you want to vote for them. Have done your research. Don't just be, doing shit, man.
Yeah, because don't be. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just don't be looking for a damn leader all the damn time.
Because it's come to light that a lot of the things that we believe, especially with regards to like what happened in Haiti, Hillary Clinton's involvement in Haiti. Not saying that her involvement didn't create some bad situations, but I've heard people repeating things that are known to be false. But they're repeating them because they saw them on social media. I've heard people talking about how Hillary Clinton is, and, you know, as an example, I've heard people talking about how Hillary Clinton herself was directly responsible for overseeing the extermination of over 4,000 Haitians through the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation murdered 4,000 Haitians, and Hillary Clinton directly oversaw it? Where did you get that information?
That's funny.
You know, and again, I'm not saying Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation didn't do some bad things in Haiti. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you're going to believe that Hillary Clinton personally oversaw over 4,000 Haitians being murdered by her nonprofit, you need proof to back that up, bro. And it can't just be a social media post.
Straight up, man. So this is what's happening with Maria Butina. So once again, like everything that we covered, man, y'all go do y'all research and stay abreast on what's going on in your country, man. Stay abreast on what's going on around you. Don't be so caught up in entertainment. Study. So the next thing we want to talk about is the white dude. What's his name? I'm looking for his name. He raped the young girl, and is only getting probation for the rape of the girl. He's an ex Baylor frat president, and looking for his name now. Jacob Walter Anderson. So basically, the victim. It's a young girl who was a virgin at the time, according to the report. So Anderson is 24 now. The young lady said, well, I'm gonna try to find her statement, but I'm gonna read you some of her statements. So she's saying, I've been through hell and back, and my life has been forever turned upside down. The victim wrote a letter to her attorney because at this time she's writing a letter to the attorney because the judge over the case is saying that she gave white boy. She gave him a plea deal unbeknownst to the victim because the judge, Jacob Walter Anderson, right? So she gave Jacob Anderson a plea deal because she didn't believe, and I'm saying she as the judge didn't believe that a jury would convict Jacob. So and the jury, the judge's belief of that came from a previous case that she presided over that the judge did not rule in the favor of the victim of the rape. They sided with the rapist. So the judge took it upon herself to imply that this jury for this particular case will rule in the same way. So the judge decided to give Jacob a plea deal, like I said earlier, unbeknownst to the victim, and by the time the victim and everybody found out, it was too late. Jacob had already took the plea deal, and he would get probation and a lot of pay some fines and a lot of psychological stuff like that and rehab and all these things there. But basically, another rapist gets through the system a white man with privilege gets to flaunt his privilege and use it. And nobody is safe from white men out there doing it. When white men and alcohol get together, it doesn't work. And a young girl was saying that she was at a party. She put a drink down. And when she, let me see. Okay, she said, the woman said she had put her drink down for a few minutes to dance. After picking up her drink again and taking a few sips, she said, I felt immediately intoxicated and more. So then that sedated, she said, to the police statement. Everything was out of focus. I felt no control over my body. Through this, I noticed Jacob Anderson out of the corner of my eye through the whole party following me, behind me. He didn't pay attention because I was aware he had a girlfriend, the victim said. But Anderson was present, she said, and told her to follow him outside. After that, Jacob pulled down his pants and shoved his penis in my mouth and down my throat, keeping it there when I gagged multiple times. In her victim impact statement, the woman said Anderson repeatedly raped me when he forcefully picked me up and shoved me into the wall to rape me vaginally from behind and calmly and coldly said, "It's fine, you're fine." When I tried to pull up my pants or sit, he shoved me to the ground and shoved his penis back in my throat and continued to choke me, the woman said. After being choked, the woman said she blacked out. She later woke up on the ground face down in her own vomit. So this is the account that she gave what happened. And the judge took it in upon herself. And remember, another woman took it upon herself to say that, well, I know the jury won't convict him, so I'm going to just give him a plea and get him off like that. So, you know, when you hear some shit like this, what comes to your mind, Pat?
I'm still trying to process all that, what you said. Because the judge offered him a plea deal. Was the judge male or female?
Female. Laborde.
Look, man.
The assistant district attorney said she worried the jury would not convict. My bad. The assistant district attorney said she was worried a jury would not convict Anderson because the prosecutor had recently lost a similar case.
So the district attorney is saying that the judge was worried. Or the prosecutor was worried. The district attorney was worried. Who was worried?
The district attorney.
The district attorney was worried, so the district attorney offered a plea deal. And the judge accepted it. After the man accepted it.
Yeah. Yeah, it says after judge. Okay, so the district attorney offered the plea deal, and then Judge Ralph Stroder agreed to accept the plea deal on Monday. The victim lambasted the court. So the district attorney proposed it, and the judge accepted it, as well as the rapist.
And so the district attorney is a female?
Yes, Laborde. Laborde.
And she was worried that she wouldn't win the case, so she just wanted to lock him up on something.
Yeah.
That whole situation sounds sad, bro. You got somebody that I'm pretty sure you got evidence that they raped somebody. But because you're scared that you can't get a conviction, you offer a plea deal to a rapist?
Unbeknownst to the victim.
Right, without even telling the victim.
That's that
Which
bullshit.
I understand why you wouldn't tell the victim, because the victim wouldn't be okay with a plea deal.
Right. But it's like, that's not your decision to make, though.
Well, it is, but it isn't. It is her decision to try to get this man put away however she can. But it's not her decision if you're talking about her getting justice for the woman.
Right. But you can't just assume that the jury that you're going to put together will rule in that favor unless, and I mean, I don't know.
But to me, that's the bigger sad part, is that she did this because she was worried that a jury wouldn't convict. That says a lot about our society. where you have prosecutors that are worried that a group of people, any random group of people, will let a rapist off because they don't believe the woman.
Right.
You know, we saw this same thing. I view all of this as fallout from Brett Kavanaugh. Not fallout per se, because Brett Kavanaugh himself was a symptom of a system that's already fucked up. But look at what happened with Brett Kavanaugh. This motherfucker was at a job interview where somebody came in and said, he raped me. And they was like, no, he didn't. You don't remember right.
Yeah.
And gave him the job.
Yeah. White privilege like motherfucker.
There were 87 serious formal complaints against Brett Kavanaugh that all got dismissed because as a member of the Supreme Court, there's no governing body that can check a Supreme Court member.
Right. And see, when we read stories like this and then you hear somebody say that black men, that straight black men are the white men of the black community, that why it infuriates me. Because ain't no black men don't have a fraction of this type of power.
No, black man wouldn't get off like, black dude would have got his ass locked up.
Man, like I saw a video today of a white dude wrestle two police officers to the ground, take the baton, beat them with the baton, take their car and ride off. Man, white male privilege is a motherfucker. And you can if you're the right white male, you can stand there and do anything you want. Like people like Larry Nassar and them, you're gonna have a couple casualties on that end. You're gonna have a couple. But for the most part, man.
Yeah, this shit is but that says a lot. And you know if white women are having this kind of trouble, you can only imagine what black women are dealing with.
Man, white. I remember the white men been raping black women since first contact. White men been raping indigenous women since first contact.
Right, but if their own women have had enough and are like, yo, and they can't even get a break, then you can, like for black women, it's just got to be horrible. You know what I'm saying, like. Like, and you know, I was thinking about this, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but it's on topic as well. Every black woman I know has been sexually assaulted in some way.
Well, every black woman I know has received some type of sexual harassment. Some type, whether they may not have been physically assaulted, but some form of sexual harassment.
And so you got high-profile women like Christine Blasey Ford was a doctor. She had a doctorate in psychology. You know, she was a professor at a university.
Yeah.
They was still, they tried to tell somebody whose job it is to study the brain that her brain wasn't working right.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
Nah, not this white boy. Nah, not him.
Right. Even when you had other people coming out against him saying that, yo, he's not fit. Other white dudes, other Supreme Court members had came out and said he's not fit to be on the Supreme Court based on how he's acting during this confirmation period. And they were still like, nah, bro, we good. So you start talking about sexual assault and being raped. Look, man, I get it. I really get it. I feel bad for black women, though, because they still don't have a voice in all of this.
Nah, black women don't have a voice in this. And I think that's where us as black men come in, even though I'm being careful about the use of the word privilege, because black men don't have a fraction of the privilege that white men have. But we are men, and we are feared, so we do have the privilege of being feared a bit by whites because we are men, and we can better defend ourselves, but not necessarily just feared across the board because white people are scared of black people. White people have been lost their fear of black people a long time ago.
Well, they lost their fear of black people centuries ago when they started taking us from Africa. Let's be clear on that.
Right, right. So, yeah.
But black men, especially when it comes to the situations of sexual assault and sexual violence, men do have an advantage. Like, I don't have to worry about a woman overpowering me. 9 times out of 10. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't women out there that could take what they want, because they are. They're out there. But 9 times out of 10, I don't have to worry about being sexually assaulted from a woman. This is not something that I have, like, physically assaulted. Now, there might be some social issues. There might be some cultural issues that would prevent me from fighting back, where I would still be sexually assaulted and I would not use my strength to defend myself because of cultural programming or social programming. So those things exist. But 9 times out of 10, if a man is in the state of mind to fight back and resist, one lone woman isn't going to be enough to restrain him and sexually assault him at the same time. So there is an advantage there for men.
Even if we're talking about men trying to rape men, there's still a better shot at a man defending himself from another man than a woman.
Right.
So, but once again, that's where we come in, A, better protecting our women, and B, making sure that the culture within our communities is sound and ready to defend our women, defend our communities, but also that we're not raping and sexually assaulting and molesting and harassing our own women.
Well, that's because exactly, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Because we fail for the cultural stuff, like, the area of sex is one of the human areas, one of the important humans of area activity. And the way we are a culture and way we are taught and brought into this realm of sex is just as toxic as white people are.
And that's exactly why I made the post I made a couple hours ago. Because we do have to change that culture. Like, it's dudes out here that's fucking up. And I never would have imagined that there would be dudes out here doing the types of things these dudes are doing. Like, I've seen pictures. You've seen some of them from some of the ladies we chat with. But there, you know, some of my female friends that inbox me or that send me texts that are in our line group, they got pictures of dudes in their inbox, and then 2 days later, these dudes is flashing pictures of their newborn babies, pictures of getting married, flashing pictures of proposing to women, flashing pictures of going on honeymoons, and at the same time, in some cases, while they're on their honeymoon, not the same day of their wedding, I've seen women with inboxes from these men. Like, we got to create a culture where disrespect is simply not tolerated in any form.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we got to have a protective shell, because these white men going to keep doing what they're doing. White culture going to keep doing what it's doing. So how do we better protect ourselves and not victimize ourselves? Right. Like, we can't be doing this dumb shit because we just going off of urges, or you think this or think that. Like, man. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm not saying I ain't never done no cheating shit in the past, but that's when I was a young dumb fucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm also speaking from a person. Yeah, I'm not married in no serious relationship, nothing like that. But my whole goal moving forward in it is, when I am, that first of all, take it a day at a time, but think about what I do. Like, really evaluate my actions and things that I'm about to do. So I can make the right moves and don't make stupid mistakes and don't be doing dumb shit like that. Because I think some of the women should put some of the men out, maybe all.
Well, that's what my post was. Is basically, yo, put these dudes out. Put like, if a dude is in your inbox and you see that same dude celebrating some sort of life event with another woman in his life, put his ass on blast. But because she shouldn't want to be with somebody like you know, she don't let that sister be with a dude like that. Yeah. She might be a little upset or whatever, but in the long run, it'll help, because in the long run, dudes will stop doing shit like that. And, you know, I know a lot of people ain't seeing the connection, but when you begin to no longer tolerate the supposedly or seemingly small disrespectful things,
it makes
the bigger disrespectful things become even more egregious.
Right. It makes our society, we have to make our society safer, because the court system, the justice system, is not set up to keep us safe. Point blank, period. We're talking about a story of a white, and it's not the first story that we've done of a white woman who was brutally raped by a white man, and the white man just gets off. Right. Nobody is safe from white men. That's what we're telling you. Nobody is safe from white men. So we have to do what we can to keep our community safe.
And the games they play. Dom shared a story the other day about a woman in college who her boyfriend left the room, and one of her boyfriend's friends came in the room and had sex with her, was having sex with her, until she realized it wasn't him, it was one of his friends. And so, come to find out, she can't do shit about it. Can't charge him with rape. Can't really do anything, even though, you know, like, so, and that's a little bit of the gray area, like, taking advantage of this. Like, these dudes out here are devious, they're nefarious, they're doing some very malicious shit, and they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
Donald Trump got rewarded for grabbing women by the pussy by becoming president of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the justice dude we was just talking about, forget his name, got rewarded
Kavanaugh.
For being a fucking douchebag all his life. I'm going to use one of their words. Raping women as a teenager and lying and drinking and blah, blah, blah. He got rewarded by becoming Supreme Court justice. So how do you tell a young man, and not to me, what I'm getting at is, if we can't reach these white boys, because at this point you can't tell a white boy not to rape a woman because he's going to get rewarded for it.
Right.
You can't tell a white boy not to lie because he's going to be rewarded for it. That shit is all around him. So how do we protect our women? We make a net where anything that's below standard is simply not tolerated from them or us, period. If no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Shit is just not tolerated. You can't come at all women any kind of way.
Right. And within our community, we don't tolerate the bullshit. Like, I don't care what position you hold. I don't care where you work at. I don't care what title you have. If you fucking up, you have to face the consequence.
Right.
Now, we don't necessarily have to be in the business of throwing people away, but we do have to be in the business of making people accountable for their actions, and you have to be willing and ready to reform.
Now, I did read something the other day because I was reading about a case where this guy, white guy, had gotten off on a rape charge because the woman he was raping had an orgasm. And it made me think back to some of my psychology courses, and I started doing some research. And, you know, here's one of the things that we have to even understand about the way the body works, because a lot of black dudes legitimately don't understand that a woman's body can be responding one way, even though she doesn't necessarily want the activity that's happening.
Well, it's the same thing as a man who's going through something, who's being sexually violated but still has an erection.
Right. But for some reason, people think that because you have an erection or because your body is physically stimulated, that you must be mentally enjoying it.
That's the body's supposed to do.
Right. That's not the case. And so I have bumped into, when I used to mentor kids, I did bump into some kids that had raped a girl. And when you ask them, well, why didn't you stop? You know, they said, well, I thought, you know, that everything was cool because she just kept getting wetter and wetter. But she was telling you to stop. Well, And you hear the same thing with other people be like, you know, when you hear it as a defense a lot, if you do research in the rape cases, you hear it as a defense a lot where dudes would be like, well, how was it rape when she was getting off?
She's telling you to stop, bitch.
If she's telling you to stop, bro, that's rape. If she's like, let's be honest. If she likes it, she's not going to tell you to stop.
Stupid ass.
So I just wanted to say that, dispel that myth, because a lot of people seem to think that your body will convey your real meaning. And when it comes to sexual whatever, it's like, I know dudes that get, you know, that say that they get a hard on when they think about certain foods. That don't mean that they want to fuck a plate.
I don't know about that. I understand where you're coming from.
I don't get a hard on when I think about food, but whatever.
Oh, biscuits.
Anyway, I'm just saying, shit is more complicated than what it is, but we definitely got to do better, because, again, if these white women are having to deal with it to this level and they have protection to an extent because they're white,
we are fucked.
Yeah, you know, we're fucked. You know, I can only imagine the type of shit that black women are going through, the type of untreated drama that they're dealing with, and the fact that they still don't have a voice. So even with this Me Too movement that was started by a black woman.
It was co-op, because you see the lady who started the Me Too movement fighting against the white women to take back control.
And she might as well let that go, because white people don't give up control. They don't. And even to that, the most well-meaning white people, and I have met several well-meaning white people, but I've met very few that do the necessary research to understand how they can be beneficial to the community, because a lot of them are self-righteous. She might as well get that fight up.
But they're self-righteous because they're not truly about equality. They're about being in control. It's still a power and control dynamic that's going on with these white women and a lot of these women movement. Like I ask people, you know, some people may not like what I'm about to say, but I ask people, like, the phrase "the future is female," like, what does that really mean? Does it mean equality or does it mean dominance? Because if you shouldn't be trying to replace a system of dominance with a system of dominance. Now, I could be wrong, but what does that mean? So if it doesn't mean equality, then it's not a good statement. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we're getting into a sidebar that I enjoy, actually, because the misnomer here is that women are less aggressive and less competitive than men. So women in charge will make for a safer world, which is bullshit.
Historically speaking, women have been just as competitive and just as aggressive as men.
And I say this, you ain't seen shit until you seen two women fight over a man. Now that's competition.
But I do get it that, you know, you do have a lot of societies where women are oppressed and suppressed and depressed.
Of course.
But you have a lot of societies where women were able to flourish and women did their damn thing.
Well, you also have to consider, like I said, those women on Fox News spit vitriol with every bit of passion as the men on Fox News. You know, those women in the conservative party are every bit as passionate about maintaining a certain social order as the men in conservative parties. You know, so don't sell me this bill of goods. I mean, I've read too many slave narratives where the slaves have spoken of being more afraid of the mistress than the master.
Yeah.
Because the mistress was crueler than the master. And so even if a woman isn't as competitive or aggressive as a man, she's still more vicious and more capable of deeper levels of cruelty. And I'm not saying in general, I'm just saying, like, that's another side of the coin that you gather when you read a lot of the documents about people that have been oppressed and mistreated. Oftentimes, the women are far more cruel than the men are.
white women who subscribe to white supremacy are some of the most devious, evil, messed up people on this earth.
Well, you know, I just disagree with the notion that women are going to do better simply because they're women. Like, I, you know, will it be different? Probably. I don't know. I honestly think it'll be more the same. But
I mean, but you, if women are still running the world under the system of white supremacy, nothing will happen.
Right, it's going to be the same. So I just disagree with that line, and that seems to be a very popular line nowadays, is that, you know, women need to be in trouble because they're women, and women are better. And it's like, hold on. Now, I get that in some senses women are different and they have their advantages over men, but don't sit here and pretend like the world is going to change just because we have more women in power. For everybody, the world is going to change for the women that are a part of the same group that the women in power are. So,
I mean, because we've had
in charge, white women are going to benefit.
Look, but a white woman is in control of England. I'm just saying, a white woman, like, think about all the white women who were in control that helped push white supremacy. Think about, you got a lake in Africa called Lake Victoria. Come on now, let's really think about this before we dive into that. Because, like I said, if that's truly about equality, then it's different. You might need to change the phrase too. But if it's about women taking over and being the power, then we need to talk. That's just me.
Yeah, we're on a tangent, so I'm not going to keep digging, but that's definitely an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah. So, last topic is this criminal justice reform. So, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. Hey, go ahead, take the lead, and I'll ask my question later, but go ahead.
So, last week, first off, I'm not calling it criminal justice reform.
Why not?
That's not what it is.
What is it?
All right, we're going to get into that. Last week, H.R. 5682, or Friday, H.R. 5682 was signed into law. It's the First Step Act. And it was signed into law on December 21st, Friday, 2018. It was signed by President Trump. Now, it's basically, we're going to go through it. I'm trying to summarize it, but I have a problem with trying to summarize things of this nature because the summary is going to miss things. And people tend to hear summaries and run with them instead of doing research into what the goddamn thing actually is. But what the thing really takes, really, it really focuses on is the transitional period between a prisoner being in prison and a prisoner getting out of prison. So it's not a criminal justice reform because, in my opinion, criminal justice reform reforms the entire criminal justice system.
This is more to prevent recidivism.
Right. This is more to make sure that the people that get out stay out.
Because it's almost like they're doing now with this, as far as with the prisoners inside the jail, of helping to actually rehabilitate them, what they should have been doing since day one, like, instead of just create criminal factory.
It's a step towards rehabilitation. And so even to that, just go ahead and get the politics of the discussion out of the way. A lot of people are like, we should give Trump big ups, blah, blah, blah. I personally say fuck all that, because this bill and other bills like it that were even more comprehensive. See, here's the thing. Republicans and Democrats have been agreeing that the criminal justice system needed to be overhauled for the last 8 to 10 years. The reason it had not been overhauled is because Barack Obama was president for the last 8 years, and the conservatives did not want to give a Democrat that kind of win, especially not a black Democrat. So they refused to even have floor debates. When Trump became president, they had the same bill, bipartisanly supported, and they didn't move on it. It was not a Trump priority. It became a Trump priority when he lost the House during the midterm elections and he needed a political win. That's what this is. This is a political win, a political statement of saying, I did something, look at what I did. The same as the tax reform thing was. It's a political win to say, I did this, look at what I did. Now, when we have to look at what it is, because whenever people say reform, people tend to think that it's something positive. The tax reform was not a positive reform for the black community or for anybody that's not ultra wealthy. This thing, in my opinion, is not worth the excitement. And with that being said, unless you got anything you want to add to that piece, you know, I think we can get into it. And I would like to take it section by section, but that might be something that needs to be done for lessons from the screen.
Right.
But well, I'll leave that up to you.
Well, we can, you know, do our summary. So, because, you know, we don't want to make this extra long ass podcast. But you said to get to the summary in this website to go to library, to go to summary. How'd you say to get to it?
Yeah, for those of you that are interested in the summary I'm looking at, go to govtrack.us. And in the search bar, just type in HR 5682. It'll come up, HR 5682, the First Step Act. And there'll be four tabs in the second row of the screen, the third row, actually. It'll say overview, summary, details, and text.
Right.
Just click on summary, and you'll get two options. One will say the Republican Policy Committee summary. That's partisan. I stay away from that. The second one says Library of Congress. That one is nonpartisan. I use that one. If you want to read it verbatim, the text is also listed there. But basically, you got it pulled up yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, the biggest thing this thing does is it amends the criminal code to establish a risk and needs assessment system to assess and classify recidivism risk, so a prisoner's likelihood of actually committing a crime to return to prison, and structuring a program based on that risk profile to reduce the likelihood of them coming back. That's right. Basically the bulk of what this thing
is. But they
is.
Should have been done.
Right. Now, it also does some things like it modifies the computation of good time credit, which, you know, it changes it so that a prisoner can earn a maximum of 54 days per year off of the sentence imposed. And the original way it was worded was that you could only earn 54 days per year of the sentence actually served. So, small adjustment there. Then you got some stuff for the Bureau of Prisons. So,
but they just now thinking of a needs and risk assessment.
I think they've been thinking about it. They just hadn't implemented it. And even to this.
I ain't giving them no credit for thinking. Fuck that. I know they probably have, but fuck it. I ain't giving them no credit.
I'm not impressed by this document because, one, when I did the show on, and we did the follow-up show on the climate report, we saw that they had actually published legislation mandating the climate report be done in 2000. We didn't get the first report until 4 to 8 years after legislation passed. So how long is it going to take for them to actually set up these programs? They have the money appropriated, and they have the authorization to use the money. But there is no time frame in this for when these programs have to be established by, not that I could see. And that becomes a huge red flag, because how long are we going to be waiting for these programs to be implemented?
Yeah, so, yeah, basically, but like you're saying, though, basically this House bill is just talking about the implementation of a number of different programs to help scale back on recidivism and really, like you said, really reform the prisoner, whether they're a youth or an adult, male or female, giving you different programs, like this one, Section 301, Title 3, Restraints on Pregnant Prisoners Prohibited. The bill amends the Federal Criminal Code to prohibit, subject to specified conditions, use of restraints on federal prisoners who are present, pregnant, or in postpartum recovery. So that's good, but that shit should have.
Yeah, but that's something that honestly it should have been in place, and it doesn't really make,
right,
in my opinion, a whole lot of difference in terms of the overall treatment of prisoners, because that's talking about one specific instance of a prisoner giving birth. So, you know, even in that, you know, you look right above it, you're looking at increase or an authorization for corrections officers to store and carry concealed firearms on
Bureau. That's what I was just reading. I was just about to say that.
Outside the security perimeter of a prison.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at, if you go down to Section 405, which is a major one for me, the bill authorizes federal prison industries to sell products to new markets, such as the District of Columbia government and nonprofit organizations. All of these people running around here talking about prison profits and this, that, and the third, and how prisoners shouldn't be made to perform blah, blah, blah. That basically expands that whole thing that you guys hate.
Yeah, expand that market, so they're going to be producing more goods and services.
You know, so the only things I see in here that are good, that are worth it, I mean, there is this section 401, that talks about prisoners needing to be in a location that's not more than 500 driving miles away from their primary residence. That's cool because it allows for certain people to be in proximity to their family so that they can come visit. It also talks about the Bureau of Prisons must place low-risk prisoners on home confinement for the maximum amount of time permitted. And I believe that's where you have people talking about these 3,000 people coming home, but they're not coming home as in they're done. They're coming home as in they're on house arrest.
Right, house arrest or a halfway program.
So, and even to that, for those of us that know about house arrest and parole and all of that, that shit is a trap to get you back in the system. But, and I say that for reasons that I won't get into in this show, but you know, I just don't. And even to that, you're talking about 3,000 people benefiting in a system that incarcerates 2.2 million. And even if you wanted to say that this only applies to the federal prison system, which it does only apply to the federal prison system, you're still talking about a program or a system that's going to release 3,000 people out of 200,000.
But even with it, everybody know that the criminals, as far as violent crimes and all those things, have done that, are more so in the state prisons, not federal prisons. So with this being for the federal prisons, you're getting people, you know, mostly white-collar crime people in certain dollar amounts and things like that, who will be getting a little more leniency, while the state prisons are still going through the tough times and stuff like that. So it's really not, it's really not a real reform, especially if it's only concentrating on federal prisons. Like, what about the state? This
federal legislation that only applies to federal prisons.
So, all right, so El Chapo get a little more whatever, but fucking James the meat cutter don't.
Yeah. Like you said, most of us, most black folk are not incarcerated in federal prison because they ain't committing no federal crimes.
Right, we're in state prison. We're in jail.
So this whole prison reform thing, and that's where you get back to understanding the nature of what's happening. If we want prison reform, yeah, you make an effort to lobby the national government because they kind of set the tone. But you really need to be focusing on local politics. You need to be focusing on your state.
Yeah.
So like I said, everybody's all excited because it's reform. But I'm not impressed by this. I'm not excited about it. I'm not impressed by it. I don't think it's a win. I don't think it's a loss either. I don't think it's a bad thing outside of Section 405. But I don't see anything in there that I'm going to be excited about. And that's not just reading the summary. I actually went and read through the text because I wanted to make sure.
It's not going to stop black people from getting incarcerated, though.
And
it,
that's
it may,
my biggest problem with it, Joe.
It may you may get out a bit faster, but it's not going to stop the numbers from going down, the people of black people being arrested and taken off the streets. But.
Right. So how does that help knowing that I can be an ex-con sooner? Knowing that I can be a felon. So, like, I'm still a felon.
Yeah.
I'm still facing the same problems that I faced before. It doesn't do anything to help me once I get out. And it doesn't do anything to stop me from going in.
Man, like, I was watching this TED talk the other day. This black dude was like, he received a felony charge for writing a book about the Black Panthers. But he was never arrested, never formally charged, but he had a felony charge on his record because he wrote a book about the Black Panthers that the FBI questioned him about. That reform ain't gonna stop that.
This reform ain't gonna do shit. And that's why I'm like, I understand the people that are excited about this or that see this as a step in the right direction. I understand all that. But it does not include anything for sentencing reform.
Yeah.
It doesn't improve anything for changing employment practices for when people get out with felony convictions on their record.
Right.
It does not take steps. And the biggest thing for me is it doesn't take any steps to prevent people, to reduce the amount of people entering in the first place. And I don't even mean like just not arresting people alone. I mean the use of like diversion programs. Like instead of sending somebody to prison, send them to some sort of alternative program that won't make them a felon.
Right. Rehabilitative program.
Right. These programs are out there and they do good work. But you can't call this a criminal justice reform if it doesn't do anything to stop people from going into prison.
It's a criminal treatment reform more so than a criminal justice reform. It's a federal prison treatment of criminal reform. But I guess it was too long of a title, so they say criminal justice reform.
The goal should be, even if we have to take a step, you don't start on the ass end of the problem. If you want to show good faith and make a positive step towards reforming the criminal justice system, you have to start on the front. You got to start on the people coming in. That's where you start at. That's where you make the change out of whether we're going to be a punitive or rehabilitative program or restorative program. That's where you do that at. You determine if somebody is worthy of punishment. They go into prison. If they can be rehabilitated, they go somewhere else where they can be rehabilitated. That's how you start fixing the criminal justice system. You don't start on this end back here where it's like, well, we're going to treat you a little bit better once you get in. Fuck that, I'm in.
You should have been doing that shit, bitch. That's what
so
I did.
I don't see it, Joe.
No, I'm with you when it was first brought up, when I first looked at it and then we first discussed it and all those things and looking through it, still not going to stop black people from getting arrested, harassed, and all these things and thrown in jail and all those things. It's just like, all right, well, if you a certain kind of criminal in the federal prison that we feel like paying attention to, then we can take care of you a little better or you'll get out a little faster. Maybe. But yeah, man. Yeah, fuck all that.
To me, it's a win, but it's a hollow win. You know, and people are all excited because they're like, at least we got something. And I think that's just kind of the where we are now. The bar is set so low. But I can't get behind being excited about this shit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Man, look here, man. Y'all make sure y'all be by the time you get this, it's Christmas. So y'all enjoy whatever. If you celebrate whatever holiday you celebrate, enjoy it. Be safe. If you're going to spend it with your family, spend it with your family. Do what you do. Man, just, you know, just be safe out there. Happy holidays. Merry New Year to y'all, too. All that shit there. Let's stop falling for the bull up within our communities, and it's time to get right and stop with that, all that goddamn. I'm not rolling into 2019 with all these, and y'all got the same problems y'all had since 95. Stop all that shit, man. Just take shit a day at a time and start winning, man. Stop worrying about rolling into it and stop worrying about all the other people, man. Just do you. So, any closing remarks from you, man?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Hey, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train Podcast Series. So you know how we do. Two fingers in the air like a player. Tell your mama I said call me too.